All right, hockey fans, listen up, because we've got something special cooked up for playoff season. It's called the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge, and it's going to add some serious spice to your playoff experience. Now, here's the deal. Every playoff game, you're going to be faced with a handful of questions. It's like your own personal playoff puzzle, and it's free to join. And there are prizes, because who doesn't love winning stuff? Daily winners, you're getting hooked up with gift cards. Treat yourself to some nation gear or maybe even your favorite jersey. And for the big dogs, the people who can win an entire round, it's straight, cold, hard cash. We're talking about real dough for your hockey knowledge. So lace up those skates, stretch those thumbs, and get ready to show off your hockey IQ in the Daily Faceoff Playoff Parlay Challenge. Sign up today and play every game day at games.dailyfaceoff.com and prove your puck prowess.
It's that time of the year. Your vacation is coming up. You can already hear the beach waves, feel the warm breeze, relax, and think about work. You really, really want it all to work out while you're away. Monday.com gives you and the team that peace of mind. When all work is on one platform and everyone's in sync, things just flow. Wherever you are, tap the banner to go to Monday.com.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
You're watching Oilers Nation every day with Tyler Yaremchuk. Your one-stop shop for all things Oilers.
Putting you on the spot. One word to describe the game 3 win.
Amazing.
Cool.
Let's get into it with the lead. The Oilers coming off an amazing and cool Game 3 victory down in Los Angeles. Welcome into a Sunday edition of Oilers Nation Every Day, live from the Sports Closet studio, where you can check them out online at sportscloset.ca. Jay and I almost had a Sports Closet-style wager, or a wager that would have involved the Sports Closet going yesterday. We'll talk about that in a little bit, but it is a short four giant game day. We are live in downtown Los Angeles, just across the street from LA Live, just across the street from Crypto.com Arena, where tonight the Oilers will be looking to take a 3-1 stranglehold on the LA Kings. Welcome into the show. We're live on YouTube. There are a bunch of comments in there I want to get into, but amazing, cool. That Game 3 experience for us, at least, was a lot of fun.
Yeah, it was really cool. The Crypto Arena, pretty cool place to be, actually.
Yeah, it was your first time.
Cool a lot so far this show, but it was cool.
It's a vibe right now.
It is a good vibe. It's a cool vibe. But just, I don't know. I'm a big basketball fan as well. So just a lot of stuff has happened in that building. It was neat to be in there.
Yeah. You see all like the Lakers banners and stuff. It is pretty cool.
No Clippers banners though.
It was less spicy, this game, compared to previous games. I expect it to get a little bit spicier tonight as the stakes are higher. And so are our seats.
We're going to be up in, I'll call it the grittier parts, I guess, tonight of Crypto.com Arena. So, Liam, maybe.
That's where I like to sit. Where my season seats are, up there. That's where the lifeline is.
Liam, maybe no Evander Kane jersey tonight. I think we keep rolling with Devin Shore for you.
Well, yeah. I'd say rock the Kane, but I know for
Shore's
good luck.
A winning recipe.
Exactly. Yeah. Now you got to rock it.
Yeah. It is a Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. You are all very active over on the Charm Diamond Center's YouTube chat. Want to get to a couple of comments there. Before we get into things, Colton is in and says, also, nothing came from the head hit on Evander Kane. You watch the hit that Englund laid on Kane in slow-mo from every angle. I don't see it as a head hit either. Honestly, the one that I think is the dirtiest was Blake Lizotte's
slew-foot. Lizotte's slew-foot was brutal.
Like, Lizotte has, I don't know why the NHL isn't doing anything about this guy. He's already injured a player this year. Gabe Vilardi missed, like, what, 3 months? 4 months? Yeah. No, 3 months.
And then called him out.
And then called him out and was like, this, like, they were teammates for like 5 years. And he's saying, this guy does this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
Vilardi, former teammate, knew he was a greaseball, got hurt, And the NHL just doesn't seem to want to do anything about him running around and continuing to do this. Like the Englund hit on Kane, I don't think it was dirty. And I mean, yeah, sure, you could injure a guy that way, but it's a clean hit is my point. The Blake Lizotte thing, that's how you injure people.
Probably a little bit different, but the Englund hit on Kane and the Hyman hit on Deneau felt somewhat similar to me, right? Like yeah. The head was hit in both situations, I would say, but it wasn't the principal point of contact. So I'm okay with whatever happened there. The craziest part about all of that, though, was that the officials gave two roughing penalties and gave the Oilers a 5-on-3 in that situation, which was just something you don't see very often, especially in the playoffs. Like you think just a ton of coincidentals all the time. But yeah, the Blake Lizotte thing, I think, is the LA Kings have woken up Evander Kane. And that's not saying he was bad the first two games, because I actually thought he's had a really good series, one of the Oilers' best players. But I'm very curious to see what Evander Kane we get tonight. Will he be the physical beast he can be, or does he kind of continue just to allow them to try and get under his skin and then ironically get under their skin at the same time? So be interesting.
Yeah, I think, you know, one thing that worked in the Oilers' favor in that hockey game was just the fact that the refs were calling everything. And I even turned to you, Jay, when we were sitting and watching, and it was after, I think it would have been the Bouchard hook, or no, it was the Draisaitl hook against Quentin Byfield in the second period with 12 minutes to go. And you were kind of like, that's a pretty weak call, right? I was sitting there going, that's great if that's the standard. Mm-hmm. Because again, the Oilers have a much better chance of winning this series, winning whatever game it is, if there's 12 power plays combined in the game versus when there's only 4 or 5.
Do you know what the Oilers' power play percentage is right now?
In this
feels
series?
Like 100.
It is 50%. They have gone 5 for 10 on the power plays in 3 games.
And they were 3 for 7 in game 3. It was a big reason why they were able to win. McDavid scored one on the power play. Then in the third period, Hyman and then Draisaitl, in, I guess you could call it garbage time, picked up their third power play goal of the game. But the big guns were out for the Edmonton Oilers in game 3. Power play, big, big reason why. Patrick is in. He's predicting a 6-0 steamrolling here tonight. Edmonton had 40 shots on net. They controlled the pace of that hockey game. Like there was a brief moment after the Doughty goal, and then the Oilers had to kill a penalty where it was kind of like, ooh, is the game turning a little bit here? The crowd was starting to wake up a little bit in Los Angeles. But then again, credit to the Oilers for just being able to tighten things right back up in that game.
Like isn't the PK 100%?
PK is 100%.
Sorry, well, I might have that wrong. The Oilers are 7 for 14 on the power play, and the PK is 100%. Special teams has worked in the Oilers' factor very well.
That's what's the analytic where you add the two?
Like PDO? Net, yeah, no, it's not PDO. PDO shooting percentage and save percentage.
Ah.
Yeah. But the Kings, BM actually pointed this out, and he's going to join us on our later edition of the show. We'll be going live 2 hours leading right up into puck drop. But BM pointed out the other day that the Kings are on a bit of a PDO heater. I think, again, when you look at some of their numbers through 2 games, like Stuart Skinner wasn't as bad as his save percentage kind of said. I don't think the Kings were as good as some of their metrics said. BM kind of said they're due to regress a little bit. And what I think we saw last game was the Kings regressing a little bit. They scored just 1 goal on 28 shots. One guy who I think gets full marks, even though you usually don't give the goalie love in a 6-1 win. But Stuart Skinner did make some pretty big saves in that hockey game.
Very clutch saves. There was, when the Kings had a bit of momentum going, there was that huge Kempe save. We know Kempe's been lethal against Skinner. Amongst a bunch of other crazy melee plays that were happening when the Kings were pressuring, Skinner just found him spot, you know, put himself in the right spot to make saves in those crazy moments, and didn't let momentum sway too much the other way. He was a tone pony, as we like to say, and by we I mean me. Mm-hmm. He was just very calm in his crease while all the chaos was happening in front of him. But he saw everything. He saw it all.
Yeah,
he just did what we know he's capable of doing, right? Like bouncing back. Like we all know that Wednesday was it that it was terrible. Like he didn't play well at all. But it's been one of the worst games he's played in a long time. And for people to doubt him the way he did, I thought was just crazy. And I'm glad he was able to prove everybody wrong on Friday.
Yeah, and you can look at the head-to-head numbers between these two. Skinner, again, 890, 331. He's been better than an 890 goalie. Cam Talbot, though, all the way down at an 861 save percentage. We'll get into things a little bit more on that front when we get to the lineup report in a couple of seconds here. Jeffrey wants to know, how late are you going today? May stop by before the game. You can swing by if you're like Jeffrey, who I'm assuming is in Los Angeles. We're going to be at First Draft. It is what, a block away from Crypto.com Arena?
Two blocks.
Two blocks.
On Olive Street and something. Yeah. You can shout out the address there, the graphics there.
Yeah, the address is right there. 1230 South Olive Street, Los Angeles.
If you like beer, you don't need to like us.
Yeah.
Just come, if you like beer, come stop by.
We're also we're going to give away a bunch of shirts, actually, as well.
We got a bunch
from our friends at deflect.net.
Yeah. It's also a family friendly place.
Yeah,
you can. Yeah. Well, you saw we had Tristan on.
Yeah.
So if you got kids, don't be afraid.
Yeah. So we'll be live in downtown Los Angeles.
No beers for them.
Yeah.
No beers.
If I'm going to go off the Pacific time for a second here, we'll be there just after 4 o'clock. We're going live at 5:30 Pacific for everyone back home. That is 6:30 Mountain Time. And then we're going to go for an hour. Then we're going to kick it up to Greta in Edmonton, which is where Boardsy and the crew are going to be hanging out tonight. Then you'll get your full 1 hour of pre-gaming with Boardsy live from Greta in downtown Edmonton. So we got an hour of live shows from downtown LA, hour of live shows from downtown Edmonton at our two party spots for the playoffs. All right. Sherwood Ford lineup report is actually an interesting one. There is some information to get out there. So let's dig into that. It's brought to you by our friends at Service Credit Union. The Big Share contest is over in just a couple of days. It ends at the end of the month, and you don't want to miss your chance to win $1 million. Every $500 saves gives you 5 entries into the Service Big Share contest. All you need to do is start saving with Service, and you'll have a chance to win $1 million. Contest ends April 30th, 2024. Skill test required. For rules, visit service.ca/win. Early reports out of the Kings practice facility in El Segundo.
Ooh, yeah.
David Rittich was the first goaltender off the ice.
Big save, Dave.
The Kings are making a goalie change ahead of game 4, or at least it sounds like it's going in that direction. Mike D is in and says, no save, Dave, in net. Let's bet the over. Canadian Connor said, let's go. Quaddy, big sieve, Dave. What do we make this decision? They're going with David Rittich between the pipes.
Well, their backs are against the corner, so they have to try to do whatever they can to kind of get a spark with the lineup. If it's switching your goalie, hopefully the team plays different in front of them. I guess that's what they're hoping. I'm hoping it's the opposite. Big save, Dave. Hopefully lives up to his name. That's the theory that they're going to be testing. And he can show up. He can show up. He has shown up in the past.
He should have out this year.
But he can. What's that?
He should have out this year.
And his numbers this season against the Oilers, he played in 2 games. He had a .930 save percentage, a 2.04 goals against average. So he had 1 game where he gave up 4 goals, 1 game where he pitched a shutout for the LA Kings. His career numbers against the Edmonton Oilers, he's played them 13 times, started 10 times. He has a .904 save percentage and a 2.73 goals against average. So
he's terrible.
He's been a bit of a mixed bag against the Oilers. Yep. Like, we remember some really, really big performances that he's had, but also more when he was with the Calgary Flames, obviously, than with the LA Kings.
We really got to get the first goal on today. Deflate the whole plan and mission for the Kings.
Yeah, and I think, again, Rittich, I'm not sitting here. If we're talking about the Kings coming back in this series, I'm not sitting here worried that Rittich is going to pull an Aiden Hill and be like damn near impossible to beat for 4 straight games or something like that, right? Like, he might be good enough tonight to help them win. He might have a game where he steals it. But when you look back through his Oilers career, like I said, even this past season, 1 game with nothing, 1 game with 4 goals against, I think eventually he doesn't scare me, is kind of what I'm saying.
Yeah.
He might be able to steal a game, but he doesn't scare me in terms of affecting the series.
He's just Cam Talbot.
Yeah,
really, right? They're essentially the same goalie, and the Oilers have had troubles against Talbot in the season, but they've also obviously shown they can beat him up as well. So the Oilers are going to dictate what happens here. It's not going to be David Rittich.
Yeah, and I think that's a great way to put it. Here's Rittich's numbers on the season: a 13-6-3 record, a 2.15 goals against average, a .921 save percentage, and 3 shutouts. So his numbers on the season are pretty good. To be fair, Cam Talbot's numbers on the season were also pretty good, and the Oilers have found a way to solve him. And like you said, Liam, this Oilers team, if they play even close to their best, it doesn't matter who's in net on the other side for the Kings.
Look at those goals the Oilers scored the other day. How many of them were bad goals against? Am I remembering it incorrectly? I feel like all of them were like relatively good goals by the Oilers. Well, it would have been difficult for any goalie to stop them.
Well, 3 on the power play, and those 3 that you had no hope of. And a tip from Kane.
The game was a tip.
Tip. And Hyman had an hour in front of the net to just keep banging it home. So that's going to...
Yeah, like the Kings, I don't think, like, goaltending has obviously been a problem, but when they've lost games, it's because they just lose their entire structure.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that's totally fair. Lineup report not done. In front of the goaltending for the Kings, it's expected to be relatively the same lineup tonight. In front of Stuart Skinner on the other side, it's going to be a little bit different. They are making the swap, Sam Carrick for Derek Ryan. So Derek Ryan will get into his first playoff game of the season. That seems to be the only change, as Daniel Nugent Bowman reported from Morning Skate earlier today. So Derek Ryan in for Carrick. I guess it's a two-parter of, like, would you have made a change pulling out Carrick? Because I think if you were to go through the Oilers lineup and, you know, look at guys who are maybe over or a little underwhelming through three games, Carrick would be one of those guys, yep, to be fair, who hasn't been playing his best hockey through three games. So I understand taking him out. I'm also intrigued with the decision to go with a Derek Ryan versus maybe a Connor Brown.
He's playing like 6 minutes.
He's coming in to kill penalties and that's it.
I bet she doesn't play much.
Well, what if you had to set the line for his minutes tonight, what would you set it at?
Six.
Yeah.
I would do like 5.5.
5.5, really?
I think one interesting layer to this is how physical a game got on Friday. Well, yeah. And Carrick obviously brings that component to the game. Like Derek Ryan, we all love him. We've said it on the show.
He's going
to
be the victim of that.
He might get bullied a little bit.
But, you know, that's a function. Sorry to jump in there, but that's a function of, like, Derek Ryan committed to making a play. That's why it gets blown up. He sees everything he does through and is willing to pay the price. So that goes on somehow, like, his bones are rubber. Like, that guy gets destroyed a lot and just gets right back up. So that guy has got heart. So I'll take that all day.
Yeah.
As long as it's, you know, sometimes those hits can build momentum for the other team. And that's something the Kings do have an advantage on us. They're playing way more physical than us at the moment. You know, and we can just do the look at the scoreboard comment, and that has a lot of merit. But at some point, sometimes that stuff can take over the game for the other team and help produce a W as they wear us down. So
just some numbers behind Carrick. No Oiler played less at 5-on-5 than Sam Carrick last game. He played 6-10 at 5-on-5, 255 on the PK. When he was on the ice, the shot attempts at 5-on-5 were 10-1 for the LA Kings.
How did Carl Grundstrom do?
Grundy. We did notice him a couple of times because we cheered.
He was celebrated.
Yeah, he played 351 at 5-on-5 shot attempts for 5-1 for the Kings.
Wow. Effective.
Yeah, hey, maybe they should play Carl Grundstrom a little bit more.
Must have played against Sam Carrick.
Probably. Yeah, I would actually. Now I'm so intrigued that I really want to look that up. Who did Carl Grundstrom get that good against? Desharnais, Kulak, Holloway, Bouchard, Janmark, Perry were his most common. So. Ooh. He did not dominate Sam Carrick in game three. So the Oilers making a swap. I would have been intrigued with the idea of throwing Holloway or Janmark down the middle and playing Connor Brown. But I think that's something, and I kind of talked about this the other day, I'm more comfortable doing that on home ice.
I think you're getting a little too creative there. I don't think the Oilers need to go down that path right now. Like, they're in full control of this series. Holloway's done a really good job on the wing. Janmark's done a really good job. Unfortunately, Connor Brown is just not going to get in unless something bad happens. And I think playing Holloway in that position, you're asking him to do a lot.
The other side with this, I actually like the idea of maybe going with more of a, call it an 11-6 approach, where Derek Ryan's there to win you a couple draws and, you know, PK a little bit. And you're committing a little bit more to getting Janmark and Holloway some shifts with your big guns. Cause I think that could be a sneaky little way to one, get McDavid and Draisaitl away from the matchups that the LA Kings want. And also after this game, you do have 2 days off, right? Yep. Game five is not coming till Wednesday. So if there is a game where you're going to sit and go, all right, let's crank up the minutes on 97 and 29. Let's win this game, kind of break the other team's spirit a little bit, put Derek Ryan in. Maybe you like him a bit more as a PK guy over Sam Carrick. And it's a chance to run Holloway and Janmark, who keep playing well, even though they're not getting a ton of minutes. I thought, again, they were pretty good in game three. So maybe a chance to get those guys in with a bit more skill. You don't feel as obligated to play a Derek Ryan as much as you would a Carrick.
Well, I'm curious to see tonight how Knobloch does his lines, because we saw him change things up a lot. It seemed like they were doing it. I wouldn't say it was the blunder, though, right? Like, they were doing it on, like, defensive zone draws, like, just trying to mess with the Kings a little bit.
A little bit, and a lot of, like, they like throwing out Carrick for the right side face-off, right? So if there's a D-zone draw on the right side, you'd see Carrick out there with two wingers he doesn't usually play with, and he just hopped off the boards, or hopped over the boards as they went up ice. They did So McDavid, Hyman, and Henrique played 826 together last game. Draisaitl, Kane, and Nuge played 813, which was the one kind of surprise we saw coming in, out of warmups, was that it looked kind of all day like it was going to be the same top six. They end up putting Evander Kane up there, and it worked. Evander Kane had his best game of the playoffs, a Gordie Howe hat trick, goal assist fight. He had a, call it vintage playoff Kane kind of performance.
Yeah, he did. I think it's interesting that they did that, considering that that line was the one that got exposed in game two against that top line, especially going on the road to play against the Kempe, Kopitar, and Byfield. And then you put Evander Kane on there, who is like, again, played a fantastic series, but he does lack defensive awareness. All two of them do. Draisaitl does the same thing too. So they did well. Obviously, they were the line that was on the ice for the goal against, but I think overall, like, the Oilers just did such a good job of dictating the game offensively that it didn't matter. And if you have the puck, the other team likely isn't going to score a goal unless you put it in your own net.
They should. Which we almost did.
Which we did almost.
Oh, fuck,
yes.
They did. I forgot about that. That was a rather spooky moment in that hockey game.
That could have built some momentum.
Yeah. And like, that was close. Like, yeah, not good. That was the one blip the Oilers had with an extra man on the ice last game was almost doing that. So that's your lineup report for our friends over at Service Credit Union. Wanted to also talk, you know, Carrick comes out of the lineup. He's been underwhelming. Make it our Sherwood Ford giant question of the show, brought to you by Sherwood Ford and their mobile service department. One of the beautiful things about making Sherwood Ford your next dealership, going there for your next whip, is getting access to, yes, Liam, Sherbucks. We all know about Sherbucks, but also the mobile service department. They'll come to you, parked at the office, parked wherever you are, parked at your house. They can come give you the assistance you need. Shout out to our friends at Sherwood Ford, the giant. Is there your giant question? Is there anyone else on the Oilers you want to see step up in game four that you maybe haven't seen enough from so far in this series?
Yeah, I think Warren Fogle needs to be better.
That's a good answer.
He's really the only forward that hasn't had an impact on this series. Yeah, I think that's fair to say. I know he has the goal, but he was an empty netter. He's got to be more aggressive when he's going in to hit. Like, he seems to lay up. He's like, no, bury those guys. Like, make them feel it, because that's going to help you however long the series goes, right? And even into the next round, if defensemen are expecting that from Fogle, then it's going to benefit him. And we saw him have a great regular season, and I obviously lead the Warren Fogle fan bus. But
you drive the Warren Fogle fan bus.
I lead it and drive it. I pull it.
Yourself.
Yeah.
Like those strongman competitions you see on TV. You know, I'd be homesick from school watching SportsCenter for like the fifth time. Then I'd flip to the steel log sign competition, or they're pulling shit. Yep. That's it.
I
totally sidetracked you there. Warren Fogle. I'll go ahead and say, I'm going to say Corey Perry, and not just because he ruined our squad.
So I'm going to go deep. Go with it. I'll go deep with mine.
Yeah. He ruined our squad bet. We did a 5-leg squad bet.
And he had a real good luck.
It was Kane shot prop, Oilers money line, over 1.5 in the first period, McDavid goal, Perry goal was the last one. And that thing was juicy. We would have been Angeles with that one.
Yeah.
But he missed that opportunity in the second period, missed an opportunity in late in the third period as well, when it was well into garbage time. But he's taken a couple of bad penalties already in this series. Haven't loved that. I was hoping to see maybe him have a bit more jump in the playoffs. Like, he's a very slow skater. And in the regular season, sometimes he comes off as like nonchalant. And I was like, okay, maybe he's got like a little bit more gas in the tank, but, you know, it's regular season games. He's just not always cranking it up. I would like to see Corey Perry, one, start moving a little bit better out there, and two, just generally being a better rat. Has there been a point where it's looked like he's really gotten under the king's skin?
Yeah, not yet. So I feel like it's incoming. So yeah, you're right. It's he needs to make a step. My guy's going to be interesting, because most people will probably think he's playing good. Most people know that I love him. Is Ekholm.
Really?
And like I said, I had to go deep. We've just seen a few instances. Like game two, they had a rough first period as a duo.
Yeah, they did.
As a duo. And, you know, that first period cost us that game.
Yeah.
And, you know, we saw a few plays, like Ekholm's great. I love him. And once again, I'm grasping at straws here, but we saw a few times where I think maybe he should have, because he's also very chill too sometimes, right? Because he's very experienced and knowledgeable and has got that patience. But where he maybe was too patient and ended up letting the Kings get to him or take the puck off his stick, a couple to un-Ekholm like.
Yeah.
That's all.
Yeah,
he's not a problem at all. Like, no. I want to be clear about that. But if I'm nitpicking, like, it's just he's not at 100% Ekholm status at the moment.
Your pal Joe says McLeod could be a bit more aggressive. I mean, I don't think.
I've been on the ice for goals against.
You can't get a zebra to change its stripes.
Yeah,
you can. Is that the term?
Cheetah to change its spots, isn't that it?
Yeah, okay, but like,
I think they all work.
That's,
all are true.
But like that's Ryan McLeod. So
I know.
If you have to pair him right, you have to make sure he's a winger. You just got to lean into what he is.
Yeah, I agree.
Like I would love for him to, if he had Holloway's like
engine
gonads.
Yeah,
if you will, proper anatomy.
You talk about Fogel, Liam. One of the things I liked about Fogel this year is even when he wasn't scoring, he felt more physically engaged. I feel like that's kind of gone away in the last couple of games in the playoffs. So I'd like to see all the Oilers get more involved physically, because it was annoying looking up at the shot clock and seeing the Kings dominating.
But you even saw it, the big, like they owned us in the big hit department.
Yeah.
They owned us.
They owned us in the effective hits department. Like,
true.
Much better at separating man from puck than the Oilers
were. They
did
a lot.
And that one, the other thing that drives me nuts, and I think it's a little bit of a reason why I get nervous when Evander Kane and Leon Draisaitl are both on the ice, is they both have similar tendencies.
They time out sometimes.
So, yeah, and they aren't big on, you know, there was a handful of plays where if you stop on it, you make the play, you disrupt them a little bit, and they're both guys who like to do the kind of desperation poke and hope that you can spring free for an odd man rush, which again, if you can get the odd man rush, it's great, but there's times where it almost blew up in the Oilers' face. So having Draisaitl and Kane both be in those kind of modes at the same time does make me a little bit nervous. It's why I don't think they're the best duo to have together on your second line. But again, the upside there, as we saw last game, is it's tremendous. And if Kane's dialed in and if Draisaitl's dialed in, that is a duo that you just, I mean, the Kings would, it'll frustrate the LA Kings if those two are both at their absolute peak, which, I mean, they were close last game. Kane obviously had a good game, but I just want to see a little bit more in the D zone from those guys. Mm-hmm. Chat's talking about Rittich a little bit more. I mean, there's not really a lot more for us to say. Who was the one who dropped it in? Someone said, I'm going under half a stick flip for David Rittich in this game. I mean, maybe a stick snapping when he eventually gets yanked in like the second period or something is more likely than that. I'd love to be cheering as David Rittich skates off the ice. But again, that's actually one thing that is surprising. They didn't yank Talbot in any of those games. Like they rode him through in games 1 and 3. And he sat there.
They knew they were making the switch. So they insulated Big Dave.
Yeah, that's fair. Oilers up 2-1, looking to take a 3-1 series lead tonight. 8:30 Mountain Time is the listed start time tonight for this one. Probably going to be like an 8:42, 8:52 kind of puck drop. But it's a full slate of NHL
Rest
hockey
up.
Today. Full slate. So let's get into the playoff report brought to you by our friends at Boston Pizza. Team up for the win this playoff season with BPs. It's been 30 years since a Canadian team last won the Stanley Cup. For most of the Canadian teams, it's been a lot longer than that as well. What would it take for Canadian hockey fans to put their differences aside and work together to end this drought? So BPs is here to find out.
Well, there's two markets now that have to make that choice, I think, because it's not looking good for them.
We might be getting to that point in a few of them. So we got today, Winnipeg and Colorado. That game is actually starting in like 10 minutes, I believe. So it's the early one on the slate today. But the Jets, I'll call this one a must win for the Jets. Game 4 is always the swing game, right?
Yeah.
Like, again, you lose game 1, you lose game 2. You always feel like, you can still work this series back in your favor. Now, if you're the Jets, you need to get home ice advantage back under your control. You need to win this game in Colorado and come home with, like, Hellebuck's got
to be big for him. Hellebuck just needs to show up.
Yeah.
And he hasn't. But if he does, like, look out.
Yeah, that's fair. They need help if we get dialed in, because that one could get out of reach for the Winnipeg Jets, the Nashville Predators, Vancouver Canucks also in action today. The Canucks looking to do the same thing the Oilers are doing, win another game on the road and head home up 3-1. The fact that the Predators are blocking everything. The Canucks have not looked good offensively. And like they're winning games with 12 shots on net. Casey DeSmith played great last game. That's a big reason why they were able to win, and they're lucky they're getting good starts from their backup here in light of the injury.
I think Nashville wins tonight.
You think Nashville evens it up?
I think it's a Winnipeg-Nashville daytime parlay.
Ooh.
Interesting.
Well, we may as well all do it.
I could get behind a Winnipeg-Nashville.
All right. Well, the game starts right away. We should make that bet.
Yeah, I should probably place it. Liam, do you want a little bit of the credit I still have?
Throw my credits on that for me.
All the credits? That seems like a bit much.
Well, no, do half. Do what we did on McDavid the other day.
Okay. Sounds good.
But yeah, I think
I'll give you $20.
Okay, sounds good. Now I got to do this while we're doing the show. Yeah,
well, the Winnipeg Colorado series is interesting because it's right what you say, Jay. Like, Connor Hellebuck can't just
BM's behind the curtain. The BM, time, we're right? Squad betting Preds Jets money lines. Okay, he's in.
BM's in. All right, let's go. We ride.
So you want 20 on it?
Yeah.
Well, let's just do one big bet then.
What time's the second game? Because we can roll that money into the.
Oh, we on one
Oiler
each?
Game.
Well, should we just throw Oilers money line in this as well?
No.
Okay, we're going to roll the money over.
Yeah, so we're very particular.
Okay, I might have to
this could be a very lucrative day, folks. You're watching it live. This is how we make our betting decisions.
20, 20, 20. 20. And then we'll see.
20 behind the screen.
BM, are you placing it yourself or do you need me to place it? So I'm putting 24680 on it?
Yeah.
Okay, sounds good.
Let's go.
All right, there you go. Great work, everybody.
Yep.
Great work. Waz is in the chat. Says, shout out to Papa Waz, who won an 8-game parlay, won $1,700 off $2. Of $2.
8-game parlay. Wow. Papa Waz.
That is actually bananas.
That is Nostradamus levels of prediction.
Yeah. Your pal Joe, LOL. BM heard the squad bet from a mile away. I got to wait until this game starts. I'm going to have to throw it as a live bet because they've already suspended it.
Oh.
So we'll have to wait that out. But we'll get it in. All right.
Can we talk about last night's games?
That was the topic. I'm sorry. We took it off the rails there.
Betting. The Toronto Maple Leafs are spiraling. They are in shambles. They are down 3-1 in their series to the Boston Bruins. And last night was
a disaster.
That encapsulates Toronto Maple Leafs playoff hockey, doesn't it? It was dysfunctional. There was drama. Austin Matthews leaves the game in the third period with an illness. They're switching goalies.
Nylander's yelling at Marner.
Well, let's run that clip. I know the lip readers have been out in full effect with this one, but you have Mitch Marner, who the clip starts with him throwing his gloves down, and then it goes and shows Matthews is yelling at somebody. He's yelling in Marner's direction. And then you have Nylander. I believe that's a shut the bleep up. And then some people are saying he goes, this isn't Junior anymore. I think that's a little bit hard to tell, but there's definitely some anger in all directions. Matthews, Nylander, the fan base, a lot of people directing their frustration at Mitch Marner.
I thought he said, stop crying, bro.
Oh, yeah. Stop crying, bro. You're right. Yeah,
the Junior one did feel like a
pouty baby maneuver there.
Yeah, whipping the gloves down.
If you want to hear an amazing analysis and breakdown of Leafs performance last night, specifically Mitch Marner, go check out our dear friend Jay Rosehill.
Should we play it for the people?
Maybe give him a little tidbit.
Yeah, okay. Let's fire that up. Here's what our pal
remove Jay all Rosehill. Partner logos for this.
Yeah, what our pal Jay Rosehill had to say yesterday after the Leafs loss.
Why does everyone else around this goddamn team seem to care more about the team than the goddamn players that are on it right now? Why was that effort? I can handle last game's loss. I can handle a game 3 loss because they fucking went balls out. They were peppering everything they could. It was passionate. It was energetic. I could give a rip if you take too many penalties because you're just playing with your nuts out as hard as you can.
Yeah.
Tonight was so uninspiring, so pathetic that I had to watch these guys just look around and bitch that it wasn't easy, bitch that it wasn't given to them. What planet are they on? What league are they playing in? Do they even know what the Stanley Cup is? Do they even fucking watch hockey? Do you even know hockey? Do you know what it... You just watch the commercials of people winning the Stanley Cup and bringing them to tears while their shoulders fucking separated and their knees half torn and their fucking legs all swollen and they just battle because they love the game and they are passionate, intense, inspiring people. I can't find it on this roster aside from a couple of guys that aren't good enough to win it by themselves.
Right.
It looked like a preseason game. Like, I don't want to be here. Like, this isn't important to me. That's what it looked like from the big dogs who we put all our faith in. I'm as positive as you can be about this team. I'll give them every benefit of the doubt. Anytime they lead with a little bit of effort, I will back them to the end of the fucking world. And they pull up with that. in a game that could tie the series up and make this thing go to seven games, or shit your pants and basically shut the season down is what they did.
Oh, man, that is so good.
And that's not even his Marner rant.
His Marner rant was like way worse. Yeah. So you can go find that.
Check it out. We were watching it live last night, and I think we wanted to go leave to eat, but we couldn't. We had to see it through and watch the whole thing.
The Marner thing is, when is he going to learn specifically? You know, like, it's been every single year. It's like, this guy never ever shows up.
He has like 10 goals in 58 playoff games.
I don't know. I'm just surprised they didn't trade him. You're trying to get a leopard to change its stripes.
Yeah, but I think with Marner, like, I think he's a very good player in the regular season, like one of the best in the league.
Who cares?
Exactly. Like, and why would a team want that? Like, why would another team be like, this guy's going to help us win? Like, I think with win, I mean a win.
It's all he cares about.
But like, maybe there's one of those like middling teams that just wants to get into the playoffs, and that's going to help them, and that's a team that would take Marner. But
they should have done it when there was probably a better market for it after this playoff run.
Yeah,
his value, given his contract, is negative.
Wait, because he wants $13 million. He wants to be one of the highest paid players in the league.
When's his deal up?
Soon here.
A couple more years.
Yeah, I think. Dubas special.
Oh, Dubas just bending
over. Dubas the GM, he'd get it.
Yeah, he would. I mean, Dubas, he wilted in those negotiations incredibly fast. Like, he didn't get term or money right on any of them. Marner has more year than he is a full-on unrestricted free agent. So the Leafs got to decide on him this summer.
They're going to have to retain half.
No, Jay.
Yes.
They're not going to have to retain trade Mitch Marner. They'll get a haul for him.
They're going to get a haul for him.
If you're the Buffalo Sabres,
they're going to get a haul for him.
Do we need to go look at his numbers over the last couple of seasons?
Let's look at him in the playoffs.
I know we get garbage in the playoffs, but to just totally ignore that he's like one of the most elite players in the league during the regular season is also foolish. 85 points in 69 games this year.
A haul for him, he says. Well, this is like Erik Karlsson. How did that work out?
This is different. That was like a 30 what year
he has less term. He has less term. Still, so that's actually still, gives the Leafs Jay, a little bit better.
26 years old.
Doesn't matter, man. He is who he is.
I wonder if, now this seems like a long shot, but I wonder if Ottawa and Toronto could make a deal. Ottawa has all these defensemen that they need to get rid of one.
But why would they want, like, they have a very good idea who Mitch Marner is.
I know, but they need to win games to get in the playoffs. Toronto needs to win games to win the Stanley Cup. Like, it's so different.
I guess Marner needs to be like in the playoffs. You have to be deep enough to be able to like hide him on your third line or something, and then keep him on for the power play.
I think you're going a little overboard here. He has to be better, but he's a good damn player. He just clearly, I don't know. Maybe he's got to get out of Toronto. Maybe
would you take him as an Oiler?
Oh, not as an Oiler.
Then there you go.
Yeah, because I don't like his contract at 10.9. But there would be
that you're just he's supporting no, my no, case I'm
not.
Here.
He's not a fit on the Oilers.
You don't want him as a player on the Oilers, and then you bitched about his contract. Those are the two.
Because the Oilers can't fit in a $10.9 million player.
Well, of course. But
like, you don't think Utah would love to have him? You don't think the Islanders, who can't score ever, would love to have that guy? Sorokin for Marner.
No chance. No.
No chance if Marner's extended?
No way. Sorokin's winning you games.
Like, if the Leafs could pull that off, that is one of their greatest trades of all time.
I know Rusty threw in the Marner for Keller rumor. There's no way.
Do that if you I was can't. Utah. Yeah, you can't.
But there's a team out there that would just love to have a 100 point player. That would
Columbus, Buffalo,
Seattle would love to add that kind of scoring.
Columbus have endless defensemen. That's the thing. You kind of got to try and match it up with someone who could give you something decent.
Retained.
Or some sort of a three-way deal, right? Like, Utah has oodles of draft picks. Do you get two firsts for Marner, and then you can take those firsts and go somewhere else? Oh, my God,
dude. You are crazy.
I don't think you're getting two.
You are crazy.
You think they would have to retain on a guy who gets 100 points a season scores at a 100-point pace every year? Jay.
I don't think they would retain.
Two I don't know firsts. What
they would get two firsts.
Everyone.
For
oh God.
Who's someone like this has been traded?
Eichel.
And they got Tucker.
Eichel is not Mitch Marner, man.
I would rather have Eichel than Marner 100%, exactly. but they're in the same class as, you know, step below very high end, but not quite.
But Eichel can perform in the playoffs.
Well, we figured that out, but we didn't know that before because he'd never played in the playoffs.
But if we're comparing the two, we look at their playoff performance.
Yeah.
Eichel, very limited playoff experience, already has a cup, has been a factor in their first series.
He's great in the playoffs.
What's that?
He's great in the playoffs.
Yeah.
But so, they got first Tuck. Krebs, Tuck.
Yeah. And this was Eichel at what, $8 million?
They still had to extend him.
But still, I don't know, man. This is not a direct comparison at all. You've got someone whose value is depleting.
I agree.
Season after season after his playoff performances. You had Eichel, who hadn't even seen in the playoffs. And sure, he had the neck thing, but everyone knew that was going to be okay. And he's been a factor. Whoa,
did they?
Well, yes. Of course okay. they did. And they brought him in. And once he got back up to speed, has been a factor ever since.
Hey, it's Ryan Reynolds, and I'm here with Keith, co-star of my upcoming film, If, only in theaters May 17th. Do you want to tell people the big news? All right, I'll do. Sign up now and you'll get unlimited for $15 a month and 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan on us. MintMobile.com/switch.
Upfront payment of $45 equivalent to $15 per month. Unlimited over 40 gigabytes per month. Face lower speeds. Videos at 480p. Active Mint customers by 5/31/24 get 6 months of Paramount Plus Essential Plan. Auto renews after 6 months. Offer ends May 31st, 2024. Separate Paramount Plus registration required. Terms and conditions apply if rated PG.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/achieve today.
Fighting Amish, Utah has 10 second rounders in the next 3 years. They could trade 5 of them and still be okay. 100%. They'll be super active this summer.
They would give up. Arizona would be a good place for Marner. Let him Utah. Go be a perimeter guy.
Okay, let's zero back in here on a few things. Do we want to play Liam's game?
Sure. Yes.
Okay, let's give the people a chance to win $25 to Nation Gear, where you can pick up sweet gear like this, our new Oil Up playoff tees.
Play La Bamba, baby.
Live La Bamba. Or the varsity. We're all repping three different Nation Gear collections. They're up now.
Am I wearing a hat? I'm wearing a hat. I got a hat on, folks. It's an Oilers Nation hat. I do have my Oil Up hat that I'll be wearing to the game.
And on the show later today. Shout out to nationgear.ca. Yeah, Live, Laugh, La Bamba. That is my favorite. I'll be rocking the Live, Laugh, La Bamba hoodie later.
So, Tyler, you got to do the wheel.
I got to do the wheel. Okay.
Rules again of Liam's game.
So,
player played for both teams?
No, not in this case. They just played for the Oilers from 2000 onwards.
Okay. So, I got to get this King filter.
And there's two players. The first one, it's just an easy one. It's a layup. If you're the first person to get it, you go into the prize wheel. Second one is the more difficult one. The first three people to get it, they go into the prize wheel as well. So, Liam, the easy one. Let's go through our warm-up lap here. What are your clues?
I can't see them.
Oh, you can't read them. Okay. I played over 1,000 games in the NHL. I played 8 seasons with the Oilers. I was a member of the 06 Cup run. I retired in 2009 with the Ottawa Senators. I was once a captain of the Oilers. I got it. Boom. Don't say it.
I got it.
I got it too.
I love this guy. I wish we had this guy right now.
Top 10 nickname all time in Oilers history?
Yes.
It is truly elite.
Okay. I thought this one might be easy.
But you know what, though? Lance. Because it's playoffs, you picked the right guy.
Yeah. Yes. I love that.
Everyone needs to channel their inner.
You can say it.
Lance Kane got it.
Jason Smith.
Gator. He was a great Oiler.
He chewed people up.
And the Oilers got him for like a prayer from the Leafs, right? Did they?
Yeah, I can't remember. Yeah. I don't know.
What were the trades?
Oh, look at that photo of him. That's great.
That is a great photo. He was traded from the Leafs to the Oilers for a fourth round pick and a second round pick. And then he ended up
playing. Hell of a trade. That might go down as one of the best trades in Oilers history.
Yeah, went on to play nine seasons with the Oilers, parts of nine seasons. Gator.
He owned his ice.
Lance Kane, you are in the draw. This next one, first three people to get it right will go into the draw and win $25 to Nation Gear. Liam, what do you got?
My NHL career started in 2006. I played for four different teams and the same team twice. I won two Stanley Cups with two different teams. I played four seasons in Edmonton.
Yes. I think I got it.
Okay. Don't say anything yet.
Oh, yeah. Who could this be? I won two Stanley Cups with two different teams. I played in Edmonton for four seasons.
I might be wrong.
Ooh.
Liam, are you watching the chat for when the first person gets it right? That's an interesting one. My NHL career started in 2006. Two Stanley Cups with two different teams. People are guessing Matt Green, but he
just won with the Kings.
Yeah, he only won with the LA Kings, so it wouldn't be him. People are saying Jarrett Stoll. He only won
with the Kings.
He only won with the LA Kings, so it couldn't be him. Lupul never won a ring. Cogliano only has the one.
That was my guess.
Ooh, no. Justin Schultz's career didn't start in 06, so it's not him.
He also has him. Oh, no, he did do him with Pittsburgh.
He played four seasons for the Oilers and won two cups on two different teams.
Oh, I don't think Nathan didn't get it, did he, Liam?
How many seasons?
Nathan. No, not
no.
David Perron.
It is not David Perron. Eric Brewer never won a ring.
Someone has said it in the chat.
Really? Someone's already got it, hey?
Yeah.
Big rig. Patty Maroon's won it with more than two teams now.
We've got the three.
You got the three.
The big three.
Who was it?
Dustin Penner.
Really? Who won else?
Anaheim and LA.
Oh, you won at Anaheim. So who were the names that got it, Liam? Let me put them in.
Mass, M-A-S.
Okay.
Dave Lund.
Dave.
Lund said you got it again, but it was Daniel Mirkat.
Okay, wait. Dave Lund. And then Daniel?
Yeah.
All right. We're spinning the wheel.
There we go.
Congratulations, Lance Kane. You won another $25 to Nation Gear. I think this is his second time winning, which means you're suspended.
You're done.
You're suspended, Lance. You've won twice.
Wise Kyle.
Yeah, you and Wise Kyle and Aiden O'Neill.
Yeah.
You three are still suspended pending league review. But congratulations, Lance. You know the steps. Email me, Tyler at thenationnetwork.com, and you could win $25 to Nation Gear. We'll hook you up. Go get a fresh oil up tee to rock when you show up at our Greta events and things like that. There you go. Liam's game. That was a lot of fun. Shout out to Nation Gear.
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm.
Shout out to Liam.
Shout out to Liam for coming up with Liam's game as well. We haven't played that in a while because we've been so busy with playoff stuff, but it was nice to get that in here on a Sunday afternoon. Afternoon, Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day. Gentlemen, we should do our keys to victory for this evening, brought to you by our friends at Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Service for all makes and models of Power Sports and Marine. Bring your Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. Your service troubles, inspection, a test run, need some trailer TLC, or just a fresh oil change. They got it all covered for you, so you are ready for the season. If you got a boat issue, you bring it to them. They have the 90,000 liter test pool right there in the back of the shop. They can fire up your boat, test out, figure out what's going wrong. Doesn't take that much time anymore.
I was talking to a tech there about the tank.
Mm-hmm.
And it saves them 98% of their like lake starts. They have to go where they take the boat to the person who bought its lake to go do all that stuff. It cuts out 98% of that.
That is wild.
That's insane.
Keys to victory this evening, gentlemen, for Sherwood Power Sports and Marine. I'm going to take an easy one. We talked about it earlier. Special teams, stay hot, stay hot, stay hot. If the power play just keeps humming at 50%, they're probably going to win this hockey game. Like that boost they have over the LA Kings. If you keep dominating the special teams matchup the way you have, I'm not giving the Kings much of a fighting chance in this one. So power play, penalty kills, stay red hot is my key to victory. Who wants to go next?
I will say score the first goal.
Hey, Jason Gregor had it. What are they, 9-1 now against the LA Kings in these playoff series? When they score first, scoring first is going to be massive.
Mm-hmm.
So one observation I made from game three, we dominated on the scoreboard.
Yeah.
But I feel like we didn't dominate them with like our skating. I feel like we weren't moving as good as we have. Because I kept complaining about, we're not moving. And we got so much skill. And we were able to just kind of break their structure and put up six. But I think the Kings are going to come out hot tonight. They are, like I said, their backs are against the wall. So I expect them to come out flying. So we have to match them. So I'm set. My key to victory is bring our boots, pack your boots, and get moving.
Chance to go up 3-1 in the series. That is an interesting opportunity for the Oilers. Game four is always the swing game. You win this one, you are in total control, and we are kicking our feet up and chilling for a couple of days. You lose this one, it's now a best of three. And that element of randomness, anything can happen late in a series, that just gets cranked up a little bit more. And that obviously plays into the factor of the LA Kings. So we'll do some more predictions and things like that later on. We'll have more keys to victory later on as well when we are down at First Draft in downtown LA, just a couple blocks away from Crypto.com Arena. So if you're watching this and you are boots on the ground in Los Angeles, come join us. They have a pour your own beer tap. You just walk along the wall and fill up. You can have swamp water if you want.
And the back wall.
And the back wall has seltzers. Liam learned that.
I found out there's another wall. I'll be checking out the other wall today.
Baja Blast was one.
Baja.
Baja Blast.
Yeah, the J is silent.
Oh, yeah.
Baja. Okay. Sounds good. Whatever.
You can be wise sometimes.
Oh.
Oh.
Oh, wow. BM, insider BM. He's got news for us. J-Pat, our friend from Canucks Army, reporting Casey DeSmith may be hurt and may not be starting for the Vancouver Canucks.
Oh, my gosh.
Their other goalie is actually still pretty good. What's his name?
Arthur Seelovs.
Yeah, they like him down there, especially quads.
I know, but let me just... But we locked in our Preds money line bet at a good time, I think.
Oh, yeah.
Wow, didn't we ever.
Yeah, we did.
We did. We should be... we actually should have the Jets and Avs on the TV here.
Shout out J-Pat.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, gentlemen. Oh, should we tell the story? Or should we save it for real life? Our missed Holloway bet. I shouldn't have even brought it up. It is a good real life story.
Yeah, we'll save it for real life.
We'll have like a show recap edition of real life at some point or the pregame show. Yeah.
Yeah. Because you fly out
early tomorrow.
Yeah, I leave at 7 a.m.
7 a.m. is when your flight leaves out of LA.
I got to be home.
You're a family guy.
Yeah. Playoff. Yeah, I know. I got to be home because then it counts as me getting home after work and I can take care of my daughter for two nights before the next game. So I've spent all the brownie points I've accumulated. Ooh. I got to go start building some backups so that I can spend them again on Wednesday.
Yeah, that makes sense.
All you dads out there, get me.
Honestly, if they're up 3-1 Wednesday,
got to go.
Want to see them complete the regicide, hopefully. I wanted to do this one last little exercise before we wrap up the show. If you had to put a letter grade on the Oilers as a whole, rating everything, special teams, 5-on-5, defense, forwards, goalies, what grade would you give them in game one, game two, and game three? A+, obviously, like the absolute best this Oilers team can possibly play. More or less mistake-free, dominant from start to finish, never any hope for the Kings, obviously down to like an F grade, terrible, they suck. So where would you go game one, game two, then game three, Liam?
Sorry, what were you asking me?
Letter grade for each game. Like we always talk about, like, can the Oilers win with their B+ effort? Can the Oilers win? You know, they won that game and that was their B- kind of game.
So you just want me to rate the game?
Yeah. Game one, what letter grade did you give them?
I thought you wanted me to give like
offense, defense, goaltending. Should we all just go around game one, game two,
game three? Game one.
Game one, I'll say B+ effort. I think the A+ was there most of the time, but they let themselves down.
You also have A- and A, or just okay.
I was going to go A-.
Let themselves down.
I went A- game one. Where like, I mean, you score 7 goals on a team. It was out of reach, except for garbage time goals.
I think you got to give it an A. And the only reason why it's not a plus is because the amount of goals we let in. Granted.
Yeah.
I'm also factoring in the fact they went off of skates and all that stuff. So they're not a true number, but it's how they started that game.
It was really good.
They came out and they moved and they dominated. And that game was like within 10 minutes, you're like, this is a no doubter.
Yeah.
We haven't felt that since. It would be my sense. So
yeah.
I give game one an A because we came out and truly dominated the Kings.
So we're A- B+ and an A. Game two, 5-4 in overtime for the LA Kings. I'm going to go C+ in that one. The start was unacceptable. Goaltending does factor into this a little bit. Special teams it was still good on the special teams front. So that does kind of help. I give them credit for fighting back in that game the way they did. It was 3-1. Boom. You made it 3-3. You were down again in the third. Bounced back really nicely. So I'll go C+ for game two. Where would you guys go?
I would go C. I think the fact that the stars just disappeared after game one was not good at all. Goaltending wasn't there. So I think a generous C, to be honest.
A generous C?
I'm going to give it a D.
Oh, wow.
Reason for that is that first period was brutal. We essentially beat ourselves. Yeah, we clawed back. But we clawed back because we are the better team. Right?
Yep.
We are the better team. So we are going to put up some goals against them. But we made some major gaffes on some of those goals that were just came from just laziness or not focused. Mm-hmm. And like, even at that level, like, it's a game is just so disappointing. D for disappointing. So that's why I give it a D.
Okay. And then game three, the 6-1 win that we were in the building for on Friday night. I think I was A minus for game one. I think I'm an A for game three. So I'm bumping it up one, but I'm still not going to go all the way to A plus. They didn't get any scoring from the bottom six again, right? So we've seen in one game this series, they did. Holloway came through with a couple of goals. Him and Janmark were great in the loss, but games one and three, it has been the stars kind of carrying the mail, the top six doing all of the scoring. And there was a point in the second period where you were a little nervous, but the penalty kill came through. So I'll give them that. Special teams gets a big check. Goaltending gets a big check. There's one area I can honestly knock them on, and it's maybe the bottom six not scoring, but almost a perfect game for the Oilers in game three. A grade.
I'll give them an A as well. I'm not concerned at all, actually, about the bottom six not scoring, because I don't think the Oilers need their bottom six to score goals to win this series. So yeah. The stars need to. If the stars show up, the Oilers are going to win. So yeah. A, I think they were great.
All right, what are you doing, Jay?
Oh, you're going
to
cut me off.
I was about to go to the crowd. Yes,
I'm going to give game three a B.
Really?
I know the score shows absolute
what
dominance.
What did you like?
It's again like we're the better team, and we were going to break this up. But I feel like, you know, the fact that we're getting out hit, I feel like we didn't bring our boots in game. And this is me being super critical. Like 6-1 was a phenomenal effort, but I didn't feel, and I know the scoreboard suggests we did. I didn't feel like we owned them. Like we were able to create chances and score. I know this doesn't make any sense, but I didn't feel domination. I didn't feel it.
You like to feel domination.
I'm a feel guy.
Yeah.
I felt it in game one.
Uh-huh.
I did not feel it in game three. We just were able to just keep scoring. And that just once again just proves that the Kings aren't that good, especially if you get that first goal and they have to break down and start trying to chase it.
Yeah.
Something on your mind?
I was just thinking about something from last night.
Something you said?
Every time you turn to Liam, I have this urge to just kind of like lightly flip you off when you're not looking at me. Yeah, I'm just saying he's been doing it the whole time from behind.
I don't know. There's a weird game. This is definitely a real life story.
Yeah, that's a real life story. Yeah,
Tyler was weird last night.
We're having a good time. All right, I want to quickly get to the way everyone else graded them. Quadi said B plus C minus A, so kind of more along the lines of what Liam had. Bring Cassian home A, B minus A, so a little bit higher on game two, which is interesting. Dave kind of agreed with you as well. Liam Lance Kane said B, B, and then an A. So he didn't give them an A until game three. So he's almost like the inverse of what you had, Jay. Like, I don't have games one and two. I don't think you can grade them the same. I just think
they looked and felt different.
They did. They really, really did.
But like, it's funny though, because the results are also completely different.
Yeah. Riley made a good point. We were talking earlier about how frustrating it was to see the Kings kind of be leading on the hit column, in the hit column. But he makes a good point. You get out hit when you dominate possession, which is another big part of it. The Oilers had the puck on their stick way more, so the Kings had to run around and try to hit them all game. So,
well,
I think that's part of it.
Well, and I'm not here to shit on anyone, but we saw plenty of opportunities where Kings had the puck and someone could have finished their check.
Yeah,
and in playoff hockey, you got to finish those because it's all about it's about doing all the little things because they add up and make a major impact on a series.
Yeah,
1-0 Avalanche.
Yeah, that sucks. Okay,
first shot goal. Why about the comeback?
I don't know, actually.
Do you guys want to do the Betway Game Day betting challenge now, or should we talk about it later, since we already did some betting talk on this show?
Shots were 11-2 when they scored.
Well, we have to do the betting challenge on this, don't we?
All right, let's do it on this one then. Let's fire it up for our friends at Betway.
We'll do silly prop bets on the next
one. Yeah, okay, we'll do that.
We'll share our squad bet.
With our friends at Betway, you can get a free bet up to $200. If your first bet loses, simply create a new account and redeem your bonus. Place a bet, no minimum amount required. And if the bet loses, you'll get a refund up to $200. You can then use that money to bet on your favorite sports. This offer only available to people outside of Ontario. And if you want to sign up and make an account, You know what you can do? You can scan the QR code that's going to be on your screen any second now. Take advantage of this offer. Get up to $200 in bonus bets if your first bet loses. All right, gentlemen, we all hit our game day challenge bets.
Good job.
Good work, everybody. I had the Oilers to win and Connor McDavid to score. You had over 32 and a half shots. You had
puck line.
Puck line for the Oilers. They covered all three of those with relative ease. They got that 33rd shot at like the 12-minute mark of the third period, I think. It was smooth sailing from then on. Puck line never really in doubt after about halfway through the second period, and Connor McDavid got on the board in the first period, which was a very nice to see. It was very nice to see 97 score his first of the playoffs. Tonight, gentlemen, what are we liking? Liam?
Dry
2 plus points.
Yeah, dry 2 points. What was it? Plus 140?
Yeah.
Playoff Draisaitl. He's unbelievable.
Power play. I think that's kind of a bet on the power play staying hot as well to an extent.
Yeah. Or maybe he'll deke the ref again.
That was sick.
Oh, man.
Like, if you would have scored on that, all-timer.
Yeah. Just nonchalantly.
Also, what is the sigh of relief in the ref when Draisaitl does successfully get around him? And it's like, oh, thank God I didn't screw that up.
Yeah.
That could have been bad. Jay, what do you like tonight?
I like Oilers money line with a over 5.5 combination. Makes it
plus one
juicy enough.
Yeah.
Juicy enough.
Hey, Rittich.
4-2.
4-2 gets you there. 5-1 gets you there.
5-1 gets you
there. 6-0 gets you there.
4-3.
Yeah, 4-3 will get you there. 5-4
gets you there. I feel like this will be a tighter match. We saw the Kings bounce back in game two, and granted, we didn't play our best.
Yeah.
But I still expect them to put in a solid effort.
I'm going with the old, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Connor McDavid, 2+ points, Oilers money line. I think 97 will stay hot. Maybe I'm not feeling a goal tonight necessarily, but 2+ points, that seems like a good spot. If the Oilers are going to win, 97 should stay dominant. I don't think they're going to win like a 2-1 low scoring game. I think if this game's tighter, it's, you know, 4-3 and in kind of that range. So I expect 97 to be in the mix. I wouldn't be surprised if we got overtime tonight, boys. This game has an overtime feel to it.
No.
I think they're going to make a sweat.
I think it has an Oilers victory feel to it.
I would agree with that as well.
I don't know. If the Oilers allow that to happen, then they did something wrong. I just don't see it. I really don't.
They just got
to
show up. Show up and just show up. That's it. We've proven that we can beat the Kings handily if we just are making passes. We're, you know, getting sticks on pucks. That's the one thing I'll give them an A-plus grade in game three.
They were good at that.
Their stick work was phenomenal because there was a lot of hairy situations, and getting some sticks on pucks there from everyone played a big role on making Stewart's night a little easier than it could have been.
We are going to be back live in about 5.5 hours here as we get set for game three. If you want a little bit more pre-game coverage, head to OilersNation.com where our boy Coomzy has game notes up for the day as well. BM, you got the travel diaries. Hey, don't you have some like game notes as well coming out? Oh, there you go. Goes up in an hour. BM's got some more written content coming as well. Keep it locked on OilersNation.com. Subscribe to the YouTube because we are back with a full 2-hour pre-game show. The first hour from First Draft downtown LA. Myself, Jay, Liam, Bag Milk's going to swing by. Maybe some more fan voices popping on the show as well. So if you want to do that, swing by First Round or First Draft in LA. And then tonight out in Edmonton at Greta, another Greta watch party. Free to get into, all the fun stuff. We're doing giveaways. AB's on the mic host and he's doing live pre and post game shows from right next to the dance floor as well. So AB, Pat Puff, Brett Holden, they got everything covered tonight on pre-game with Boardsy. Again, 2 hours leading up until puck drop tonight. It is going to be a lot of fun. If you're going to Greta, hope you have fun. If you're down in LA, we hope to see you right away. And we hope to be taking in an Oilers game four victory with you. This has been a wrap on a special Sunday Sherwood Ford Giant Game Day edition of the show. We'll talk to you again in just a few hours.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.